three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Monday, 17th of January at 5:30 p.m. My name is Joseph Corr from ESPN, Stats Perform. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon, the fan man in the stand. Andrew, say hello.
Hello, everybody. Fan man in the stand wearing the mask because we're in WA. We're masking up again. Oh, yeah. It's back.
Masking up.
Omicron.
February 5th. It opens. Jeez, when was the last time the Wildcats played? Anyway, before we answer that, we got a bunch of stuff. We're talking about Melbourne United predominantly, Sydney Kings, the Websters and the Breakers, Southeast Melbourne, COVID.
Yep,
a whole bunch of stuff. But before we do that, a bit of clerical stuff. Patreon. We got 25 patrons. We're going to do something nice for those 25 when we get the time. It is a stinking hot, humid day here in Sydney. I've got no mood. At all. So apologies at the top to Jackson and Tristan who had questions for us and submissions. I'm just not going to get to it. I'm so sorry. I just really, it's just too hot. So
keep it in the holster. We'll use it next time maybe.
Oh, it will be used for sure, but just not end of the round, just not this mid-round podcast.
Only 20, hang on. I'll go, 25. Some may say 25, that's really good, Joe. No, 20.
I think that is quite good.
It is good, but it's not good enough. 25. Come on. We know there's more than 25 people listening.
Well, I know. I tell you the numbers. The numbers are anywhere between about 500 and 650. So the great majority
getting it
for free. I honestly hope that they're listening to it as something like a... Actually, you know what? Stop myself.
No, I'll pick you. I'll pick up what you're putting down. I hope they're listening to it as they're looking at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
Just keep listening. Look at yourself right now in the mirror. Say, is this podcast worth a couple of bucks a month?
Yeah, and I hope they're listening to it as a vase is on a shelf. And if they weren't listening to the show, they would hear that a breeze picked up and they could save the vase from falling. But because they're listening to us for free, it falls and shatters. And it's priceless. It's from a dead relative. That's what I hope happens.
We love all our listeners, though. Let's just make it clear.
We adore them, especially the ones who...
Oh, we really love those guys.
All right. It's a hot day. We're in a silly mood. Where do you want to start with this one? Gee, do you want to go Sydney, Melbourne, New Zealand? Where do you want to go, Andrew?
Let's start with New Zealand, NZ.
Let's do it.
NZ, you put the question to me, done or just begun? Which I like that. That was a good bit of alliteration.
As a rhyme.
I liked it.
A bit of Bo Estes on that. Yeah.
I was trying to do a Kiwi accent, but I can't do it for that. All I can do is fish and chips. Done or just begun? I know what I'm doing. I got to stop.
Stay on target.
Look, New Zealand, congratulations. You've won some games. This is a good start for the new year for them. What do you think, Joe?
2-5. Well, yeah, let's talk hoops. So they're 2-5, played 7, 2-5. They've had a pretty dense schedule. I mean, Perth seem to have had a few nights off and they've had a lot of – at the time of the year that they don't want games, they've been playing games, if you know what I mean, and had that COVID hit game at the start of the season. So you can make the case for them. The question is done or just begun. I'm going to go just begun. I feel like – but I'm going to pose a question straight back at you.
Okay.
When I say just begun, they're not a contender for the crown. You can't win playing away the whole season since it's not possible.
No, it'd be a first.
Are they a contender for the 4-2-5 away from home? When I say just begun, I don't think they're any serious top four contention. I think they'll push a few teams around in the 5th-6th range, but it's just it's more the being away from home and a little bit of the bad start that's got them done. What do you think?
So you're saying they're a solid top eight team. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I'm saying they're just begun in the sense that they're going to be, top seven.
All right.
Which is a huge achievement.
It is. And look, all this stuff, it's kind of like you don't take anything away from the challenges they're confronting. Okay, it's kind of like taken as given. But we can't keep making the same comments, right? So I'm going to call them done. This team is cooked.
As far as not making the four, not making the top eight? They're a bottom one or two team?
They're bottom. Yeah, right. They're them and Jack Jumpers. I'm really worried for the New Zealand Breakers. Interestingly, I'm worried for them at a time when Peyton Siva has come in and started to make a bit of noise and he's looking good. Mm. They look way better when he's on the court. But I've got concerns elsewhere.
I think there's a couple of, Jack Jumpers they can beat. Sydney they've shown they can beat. Cairns are still, who are they?
Yeah.
Is their import coming back? So there's a few games that they can do. Andrew B. Price of Spatial Jam, another website, brilliant stuff. He put out the tweet, with Siva on the court, the Breakers' defense has jumped up to fourth defensive rating. So a middle defense and a good offense, they're going to be troublesome, which was the hint of his tweet. And Andrew's a great follow, very analytical guy, brilliant, really. So definitely follow him. So there's optimism, but as I said, for them, they've just begun to not make the four, finish top six or seven if they're absolutely on fire. But, Siva looked really good. I liked him coming into the year, a bit of injury, what have you. But when he's on the floor, he scores a bit and they play with a bit of poise. But the deficiencies, I think the defense and the rebounding, even in the win, were poor.
Yeah, and it's the little things as well, like the body language. I'm still not loving that. A turnover occurred between, is it in the second game? Finn Delaney sort of passed it out.
Besson.
I think he was going on a back cut. And he
went back. There was no hands. Good spot.
And it was just like, hardly looked at each other. No, like, my bad or, high five, let's keep going. It was just like, F this. they just looked both kind of like, whatever.
No, like, sac le bleu, nothing. It hurts.
No.
And
then the other big issue I've got with the New Zealand Breakers, and this is why they're not going to win enough games, because they're playing Usman Dieng like 15 minutes a game.
I think that's up. I saw, when you say you saw that bad body language between Besson and Delaney, I saw the same body language when Shamir called out, substituted out Dieng the last time in the game. It was a lot. Hands thrown up. I think there was even a few papers scattered. It was like, nah, that's it. It was like, that's it. I don't care how many minutes this kid was promised. I'm not doing it. I'm not. Yeah, it was over. And I think that's it to improve. If I may as well, when I say just begun, I had this team quite high. And, Abercrombie's been missed. I think we've totally forgotten about him because he hasn't played a single game. He was that guy who plays, what did we say their deficiencies were? Defense, where he plays really good defense, particularly on smalls, and he finishes plays by grabbing rebounds.
Yeah.
He's
got heart. He's like the embodiment of the Breakers, over a long period of time.
Yeah. He's captain. Yeah. It seems that way. Yeah.
And they look to Finn Delaney to sort of step up into that. I don't think he's maybe the personality type to do it, perhaps. He doesn't seem ready for it anyway. And then they need Abercrombie back. But I don't know. I think there's just still so much mayhem in that team. You've got Dan Shamir. Why are the referees not giving him a technical foul for stepping on the court? He does it every single player. You've got Modi jumping around. Now we've got Matt Walsh, apparently. Apparently Matt Walsh is calling substitutions. Yeah. Jeez, there's a lot of chaos in that team.
What's funny with that report, and I don't doubt Rucker saw what he saw and thought what he thought, but where's the follow-up on that? We didn't do that press conference. I don't know if people asked, and maybe I'm being ignorant in that, but where was the article like, Matt Walsh, no, I'm not doing the subs. Dan Shamir, yes,
Did
such a thing come out?
This is the problem when you've got the media being an extension of the league.
But there's enough people. I disagree with you.
Good.
There's enough people. There's enough reporters out there who are not league affiliate. And it's a matter of just picking up the phone and asking Matt Walsh. And Matt Walsh is really good about, having a chat with people.
All right. Well, maybe this
not,
is maybe
not with us. But
I was going to say maybe this is our role. Maybe we found our purpose. Our ikigai is your Japanese word of the day. Matt Walsh, what's going on, man? You're running the socials for. You're owning the team. You're running the socials, and you're calling the substitution patterns. Like
speaking
what's
of
going
that,
on, man.
They had a tweet that was, listen, I love it all. I'm 18 plus, whatever. But a tweet that was like, fuck you.
Are you talking about the guy in the car? Like the guy?
Yeah, I hadn't seen that before. That was like, whoa. Dude, you cannot be a media manager and turn to your employer in earnest and go, yeah, I'm thinking about putting this tweet. yeah, it's addressed to the haters. What happens in it? Well, guys in a car basically tell them to get fucked. Sorry for the language.
It was pretty crazy. It was salty as. I was surprised.
It was amazing.
I watched it without sound at first, and I was like, what is this? I've never seen it. And so I did the same thing, put the sound on, and I'm like, what the? Wow.
I saw people react, and there was such pious, like, disgusting. I was like, this is Twitter. It's an absolute pig fight in the mud. Come on. We're all animals here. Let's just deal with it. Amazing. But in answer to that question, I say just begun with an asterisk. You say done, which I think take your pick out there. You're listening.
Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter.
Let us know, yeah.
At NBL Pocket Pod, at Andrew Canyon. There you go.
Do it indeed. I want to talk about Sydney.
Okay.
My question to you, or I think it was your question to me, pretenders or hard done by? You go first on this one. Are they pretenders or were they a championship? And this is a team that the bookies had at 20.5 wins over under. They're not going to come close to that.
No by way. Look
at it. I bet the under just quite.
Yeah.
If COVID holds that bet up, I don't know how that works. But yeah, pretender, hard done by. Are they a good team? Under, you know, what do you
think? I think they're hard done by, and the injuries suck. Like they've been smashed with injuries, no doubt about it. But at the same time, even without those injuries, I'm not seeing them winning many games. They're just like you talk about the chaos at New Zealand, the chaos at Sydney. I don't understand what this team is. I don't know what their identity is, other than every player gets a turn. I don't get it. They try and portray themselves as the sort of the Australian NBA team. That's sort of their marketing shtick, I think. But they don't operate like an NBA team. They don't. Maybe they care as much as some players in NBA teams care. I don't know. I'm just not seeing any passion for the Kings uniform.
They're an interesting outfit, and what I'm getting at is the NBL is on a knife's edge. As far as roster construction and the way your season can go, look at Cairns. Like when they lost DJ Newber, they still had a pretty good team, but it just fell over. And the mix has to be so right because the spend is small and it's concentrated on sort of four or five guys who of consequence. You know, if one doesn't quite work out, it really falls pretty fast and pretty hard. And Jordan Hunter is the big one for me. RJ Hunter, big loss, not denying that. He was looking like a player and had good pedigree, but Jordan Hunter for me is the bigger loss because Jarrell Martin's just become so less effective because he's just playing out of position at the five. He's not a rebounder. He's not a rim protector. He's a great little face-up scorer, too quick for fours, too big for threes. And they had that plan. And to be honest, I thought it was a solid strategy, but just hasn't panned out. But no poise in the backcourt. Jalen Adams loves a bit of hero ball, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he looked good that first game back, and then the most recent game, he didn't look great at all.
I think that's a minute thing. And then you talk about it. You said it best. NBA down under. They do this. Their substitutions are a bit odd. They pretend like they've got a big roster. They pretend like it's 48 minutes.
Yep.
And then injury prevention, I think guys are held out way too long. I hate to, you know, comment on that because how hurt are they? What's going on? And, you know, you always want to protect people, but it just seems like so much of it seems like more of a facade than necessary. Am I being cruel in saying
that? That's a really good point you make about the 48 minutes. And I think it's like, I know the old commentary crews go on about this, right? They used to play 38 minutes a game and they did, you know, they played 46 minutes a game. But yeah, you're right. In a 40-minute game, two things. You need a shorter roster, but also each possession becomes more important.
Yeah.
Because you've got fewer possessions. And I don't feel like Sydney really values possession very much. They fire up shots left, right, and, you know, they don't really seem to hit, apart from Xavier Cooks, they don't really seem to crash the boards. Like, they just don't seem to, they're playing like it's a 48-minute game and, you know, 12 of those minutes are going to be bench scrubs, so that doesn't really count. You know, I don't know, it's just a weird sort of approach to an NBL game that they take.
I'm explaining myself well. No, I think you are. I'm going to throw something out there that may be seen as quite critical, but I want to say it. Chris Pongrass, GM of the team, you know, we're about to, I'm going to ask the question in a second, where do we level blame, if any, and anywhere? But Chris Pongrass, for me, it's like, Chase Buford, what was the conversation? What was that interview process like? Because they've just, I haven't looked at Sydney's fourth quarter scoring, but I'd be willing to bet a lot of money they're worst in the league for fourth quarter scoring. It just seems like teams look at them for three quarters and go, oh, this is pinball. Let's just do this, this, this in the fourth quarter. And then they completely fall over, totally out strategized, totally out, you know, chess played.
Yep.
And going back to Pongrass, like what did Buford say in this interview? And to me, contentious, but I think he was thinking about his next job rather than the job in front of him, where he's thinking, oh, Chase Buford, oh, of the Bufords, of the NBA. Like,
right.
And yeah, if they and if they bristled at that, I'd say, well, oh, so you got no intention of going back to the NBA? If an NBA team that RJ Buford was in charge of came and knocked on your door and said, oh, do you want the job? You'd go, no, I'm in the hoops capital for everything. No, you'd go, toodaloo, Kings, I'm out. So I think there's that going on because there's no way you could look at Chase Buford and, you know, Beveridge just got this BA job.
Yep.
I mean, come on. Is that the best candidate? If you're going, we're trying to win the championship, best candidate. I just don't see it. What do you think?
I think, well, yeah, I can't speak to the job interviews.
Motives of another.
Yeah, but
I'm just being, you know,
it wouldn't be the first, wouldn't be the first time that people have thought ahead and strategized. But no, I think in terms of this, the decision rests on management or management/ownership. Mm-hmm. I don't think Buford is up to it as a coach. But it's not his fault. It's therefore Pongrass's fault. Is Pongrass the top of the tree? I don't know. Maybe it's ownership's fault. The ownership, they love their NBA connections, right? So do they see this
maybe
as
it's
a,
them.
It, you know, like.
Mm. Keen point. Do you think we'll see a change?
No.
At any level?
No.
No.
No, I don't see the appetite for it. And I think this.
You even see. Sorry.
And there's excuses built in. Like, he's lost players through injury. He's had these COVID challenges. Like, there are enough asterisks next to it that you could say that, given a different run, he would have done better.
Yeah. And to now pump Buford's tires a bit, I'm sure he's just coaching in the way he would have laid out in an interview. Like, yep, we're going to run a G League style, very kind of face the basket, let guys play. But as a young coach, and I don't doubt he would have said, listen, build with me. I'll sign a 3-year deal with no NBA out. And that was a selling point. And
yep.
That's why he's there, but I'm sure there was more to it as well.
I'm going to go taking it to the tweets here. I'm going to pump my own tires up a little bit.
This got traction.
I released a tweet, just the old classic photo of a Violet Crumble. And I said, holds up, you know, the Violet Crumbles. It's the way it shatters that matters.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Do they still make those?
I don't know. They make Crunchies. I assume Violet Crumbles are still a thing.
I think Crunchy acquired the Violet Crumble.
Jeez.
Write to us, NBL Pocket Pod at Andrew Canyon. Let us know.
I remember being in Challenge Stadium at one point and like half the crowd were holding Violet Crumbles. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, they're not a fourth quarter outfit. Last question on the Kings. Bounce back. Do you conceivably see them in the four? I mean, they're only at what was it, 3-5?
Yeah, they're not making the four.
No.
The only people who are saying that are people in Sydney or people who are somehow connected to them.
And they just haven't played good teams. They haven't played Melbourne a bit, who are okay, and we're going to talk about them next. But, you know, lost to, you know, I think they played Tasmania or a lot of New Zealand, you know, teams that are like, you should have a better record, even with the talent you've got around the floor. But, as you said, it's an identity thing. I just don't see them winning with their style. But anyway, I agree.
Yep.
Let's go Melbourne. All right. Melbourne. Now, someone on Twitter.
Melbourne, yes.
Someone on Twitter went at you, not me.
I know.
They went hard. They went, Andrew Canyon, find a way to poke holes in Melbourne United now, you piece of shit, is what they said.
You know, it wasn't a they. I'm going to call it Tommy at Gibbon 9000, giving me a bit of heat. I love it, actually.
We like it.
I love it.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Tommy.
That's all right, Tommy. I replied. He asked me a fair question.
What are you going
to
do?
So he said to me, how's Andrew Canyon going to spin this match into United is the worst and Delhi is washed? We'll find out next pod.
A dagger in Andrew's back. Wow. How dare you?
Well,
what are you doing?
Well, I told him I was working up a theory. I had the pictures and the string on the wall, and I've got it all figured out. So This is the Delhi game. This is the game that they paid $700,000 for. So, wow, they paid $700K to get a Delhi game in Wollongong. Awesome. I think like 1,200 people saw it at the game.
Oh, you are hurt. You're bruised. You're hurt. Tommy got to you.
Way to step it up. You know, he's gone from 20,000, you know, in the NBA finals to 1,200 in the gong. But, cometh the hour, cometh the man, and Matthew Dellavedova, that was a great performance. It was an amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was really amazing. It was fun. It was really fun to watch.
It was a great three quarters of basketball. Fourth quarter, not so much. Oh, dear.
But when you get that, like, there are times when you get that hot and it just feels like you can do no wrong and you can put up any ridiculous shot and it's going in. I've had that experience probably like three times in my life, I would say.
Yep.
And it's it feels amazing. And he was also continuing to pass well. He's playing good defense. Like, he earned his money. So, hats off.
I'm not going that far. Okay. I want to ask you this question. So we've had a question for each team going this far. Contenders or pretenders? And I mean contenders for the championship. Melbourne United, contender or pretender?
Well, they're on the bubble, as Gorge would say, I think. Mm. I think they're in that third, fourth, fifth sort of position. And if things play out well for them, kind of like it did last year with the Wildcats getting so banged up, I think they're in with a chance. But I still have real concerns about they needed Delhi to get 33 to get past the Hawks.
To win by four.
How's that, yeah, that going to happen again? And they've still got old bodies. And those old bodies, once they hit the – if they ever hit the road proper, like this was a Tasmania / Wollongong mm-hmm. road trip, right? So that's probably as hard as it gets for them. But if they really do have to travel, those old bodies are not going to enjoy it.
True. They really haven't traveled. And I'm going to back you up here. All right, Tommy, if you come for Canyon, you best not miss because I'm right behind. Here's my case against Melbourne United. And when we were talking about this episode, we said this is sort of a devil's advocate episode. What did I call it? Advocolii Diabolo. Diaboli. Devil's advocate, right? And for people that don't know, that was an office in the Vatican Church that used to argue against sainthood. So these priests and that would and bishops and monsignors would pay people to argue against sainthood. And it's devil's advocate. So I'm not necessarily saying I believe this about United. Maybe, maybe not. Who cares? I'm arguing the point. Here's my case against them. Yep, 6-game win streak. Twice against New Zealand, twice against Sydney, Tasmania, and now this good win against Illawarra.
Yep.
Right. See, bottom teams, right? As much as we just talked up New Zealand, still a bottom team. Sydney too, or lower team. Melbourne are allowed to hold and scrag on pretty much every possession. And I'm not saying home cooking, Larry's in their pocket, nothing or else. It actually comes down to Dean Vickerman just riding they set a great tone, Melbourne United. I actually really take it that they're playing like the Wildcats used to. Mm. And it's going to be so interesting to see those two teams play, but I digress. But they are the defense, the amount of physicality, and Gorgon spoke about in the presser, the amount of physicality is a lot, yeah. And heck of a lot. So if you kind of get Gorgon or a smart coach who prior to the game kind of gets in the referee's whistle, gets in their ear and says, listen, don't let them drag this game down to that physical stuff, and they get a few early whistles, I can see it changing. As you said, Delhi, 33 points, he'll never do it again. If he beats that scoring mark, fair play to him. But and also the scout. And you can hear it in the broadcast the whole time. Gorgon's going, Goulding, Barlow, Goulding. But he must have said it 25 times. That was their focus.
Yep.
Well, the scout worked in a way.
Yep.
Goulding, Barlow, 9 points combined, 3 of 12. Barlow barely played. I don't know why he was a huge focus, but you could hear him.
Yeah.
If you're riding on Dellavedova to hit more than, not forget seven, more than three threes in a game across a playoff series, I don't think they win that game.
No. Yeah. Full stop. What did the Gazers used to say? Lindsay Gaze was operation successful, patient died. You know, and I think that's the game plan for the Hawks here. They knew what they wanted to do. They kept doing it, and Delhi just shot the lights out.
And on the other side of it, Cleveland missed, what, 4 or 5 threes wide open in the fourth? Yeah. Like, the strategy was the same. But different teams. Leave Delhi open, leave Cleveland open, and one hit and one didn't, and that was the game.
Yep.
So, but to flip the other side and what they do well, I lost my place in my notes here, but Agata, I want to pump his tires. Boy, he finishes plays. Like, he grabs a heck of a lot of defensive rebounds, and not just it comes off the rim and he gets it. He goes and gets it. And we were talking in the preseason about how Landau and these guys are gone. They're going to be doughy in the middle. Yep. Hasn't happened. He's like a
scoring Damian Martin in that respect. Mm. Damian Martin would used to be expert at grabbing those defensive boards and then pushing out from it.
It reminds me of Tom Abercrombie, but way smaller. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know if that's a good comp or not, but that's what it is. But that's Melbourne. So you're saying contender or pretender? Pretender.
They're a contender for the finals, to make the finals. I still can't see them winning the thing. I want to see them play competition. Just a couple other points from Melbourne, though.
Do it.
I think JLA, he has become a real key to this team. Like, when he switched on and is getting those post seals, like, he's a beast to deal with. Nobody can stay with him. The challenge they've got with him is just keeping the balance right, because he can get carried away. And secondly, Jack White, he reminds me a lot of young Andrew Vlahov.
He does, doesn't he?
When Vlahov came back from
more athletic,
came back from college from Stanford, and it was like, this is a ready-made player, ready to go, smart, powerful. You know, you can trust him as well. It doesn't seem to make too many dumb mistakes. I think Jack White is he's going to be one of the names in this league over the next decade.
I agree, and we were actually going to do this week, but I just didn't get time to do it. I was going to do the top five under 25, and he's just undeniably on that list. If anyone steals that idea and you see an article, top 25 under 5, I'll just be flattered. You can go ahead and steal it if you want. I'll start you off. Thieves out there, I already know there's about 500 of them. There's Jack White and Vasiljevic. There you go. There's your starting one, two. But yeah, and the other thing I want to say about Dally, people are going to say, oh, Dally, still got it. I'm not convinced. The Hawks were going so far under on those screens. Dally was naked. I could see everything, every inch of him. He was so bare. And, he hit some shots. He would have known. I mean, it's no mistake what Gorgian thinks of Dally. I mean, this is a guy that he benched for the bronze medal game. I don't think he played a minute.
Mm.
So Dellavedova was like, he's going to go under. And I remember an interview with Isaiah Thomas, I think it was on Open Court. He basically said, if teams are going under on the screen, and again, pardon my language, it means they think you ain't shit, was his direct quote. Like, they think you're not a good player. Yeah. And Dellavedova was ready, he knew it was happening, and he probably shot 1,000 threes the night before.
Yeah.
But slight adjustment, and he doesn't hit anywhere near 7, he doesn't hit anywhere near 2 or 3. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say about that Gorgian Dellavedova. I wonder what that relationship's like.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask next time we get the chance.
It'd be interesting. I think they're fine. I don't see any issues between the two of them.
No, I think it just is what it is. Yep. Where do you want to go? Oh, you got anything for Melbourne, or you want to go on?
No, I just want to say, there you go. Gibbon 9000 in your face, man. Took your question and answered it.
Does he even follow? Thanks for the. We appreciate it. He gave us a great segment.
It's all good fun.
Where do you want to go? Do you want to go to the break? Back to the Breakers? Or
no? I want to do Brisbane, Southeast Melbourne, because I've got important breaking news.
Oh,
okay. So Brisbane, Southeast Melbourne. This is the game that wasn't a game because Southeast Melbourne forgot to turn up. But breaking news. I'm going on the record. I've said for the last 4 years, is it maybe, Brisbane have been a boring team. They are no longer boring, my friend. I am looking forward to watching Brisbane games now. Never happened before, but they've changed, and I'm changing.
Initially, I was really hard on Southeast Melbourne. I was like, what is this SHIT? What is this? Southeast Melbourne, what is this? And then I thought about it some more. I was like, nah, this team's ravaged by COVID. They had that guy who just flown into the country. And we'll talk about the presser and the botched question I gave there. But are you reading too much into this? Are you giving too much credit to Brisbane? I mean, this is a team that was beaten, broken, bruised, looking into the sun. It wasn't a fair fight. What do you think?
Oh, it wasn't a fair fight by any means. But I just thought Brisbane did what they had to do. Like, who cares what position the opposition team is in? You just come out and do your best.
Nice
and
one.
They did. They smashed them. And they're really fun. Like, I love watching, like, Lamar is starting to get his groove back. Like, Lamar is what Martin and Sydney should be. And you got him, and now he's got Franks. And it's like, oh.
Franks is so good, man. And listen.
Sobey's just getting a little bit of that, like, FU attitude back into him. I'm kind of enjoying that.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's like, no, I'm a legit member of the Boomers.
Yep,
I think he's got that streak. Those three are formidable. And we were critical of Patterson last season. Yeah, because he was 25 kilos overweight. And we weren't the only ones that – I didn't cut Lamar Patterson. I didn't give him a contract.
No, Dan Shamir is like, oh, Lamar, he came into the season not looking so good.
Yeah. It's not an anti – he had a bad year. For whatever reason, was COVID, these things happen. But I didn't take money off Lamar Patterson. It wasn't me. So, you know, we just commonly saw it. But he's back. But as I said, yeah, certainly COVID, Southeast Melbourne, too bad. But also – this Brisbane team is going to be a real nightmare for Southeast Melbourne. And here's why.
Yep.
Or I think why, anyway. Sobey, no one in that backcourt can guard Sobey. Adnam, mincemeat. Luafa, bit small, mincemeat. So that's an issue.
Yep.
Lamar Patterson just finds people. He had like 9 assists. He was picking them apart. But who can guard him? Do you put Mitch Creek on him? He's the only body that can take him.
Yeah,
they tried. Broke off too small.
Well, they tried Tarangi, didn't they? And that just didn't really work.
Oh, but Tarangi got monstered. So, like, no one can guard him. Yep. So, you got an issue there. And then Franks is a Jochi killer. But now, we're going to talk about Smashley in a second. But Jochi killer because he can take you in. He's too quick. He's too much. You can't lag off him because he can hit.
Yep.
I see a real matchup nightmare for Southeast Melbourne against Brisbane. I think that's going to be their hardest opposition in a funny way.
Mm.
Not Illawarra, not Perth. I think it's going to be Brisbane, which is not good for a team that they're kind of both kicking around fourth, fifth, bottom of the playoffs. So, what else have you got for me?
Not much else other than every player that Brisbane kept brought on the court performed well. You know, they had Tyrell Harrison, that was brilliant.
Yeah, he looked good. Against Joe Chino.
Set the tone, yep. Took the elbows. And then what's his, Lou?
Big Lou.
Big Lou. Why are all these Chinese players just big whatever their name is? It's like, it's not very original. But he did well.
Liu Kang then. Big Lou. No, that's maybe, we're getting trouble. Mortal Kombat fans. No, I've heard a bit much.
And then Jack Salt as well. So they had the triple-headed monster inside. They all just came on and did their bit. I think probably the only player that didn't turn up was Maker. He didn't really do a whole lot, but wasn't called on. No need for flopping in this game.
Let's talk about COVID in this game because it was 6-30 in the first quarter. My understanding is, rumor mill is that, you know, 8 of the 9 players for Southeast Melbourne were, you know, just cleared protocol, quote unquote protocols. And in the press, I gave a very fumbling question, which was promptly effing pounced upon by I tell you, these press conferences, you would think the way people react, that they're holier than the Shroud of Turin. Like, people, oh, the press conferences, don't make a mistake in there. That's sacred ground. Jeepers, creepers. But anyway, I did ask a bumbling question. But what I was getting at with Simon Mitchell, I was like, in the NBA, when a player goes into protocol, you hear about it. They've entered protocols. They've come out of protocols. They're this, they're that. They have had this for breakfast. It's so up to date. So when you come into a game, you're not like, all right, Southeast Melbourne, Brisbane at the top of their game. Oh, 30-6 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's clear to me that we're not giving out individual information about COVID or even just like 8 players have cleared things. So then you're like, okay, well, I'll calibrate my tip. And I said it to Simon Mitchell. I was like, we could have an intellectual discussion about the game, but you're always a step behind with NBL clubs. And I'm not blaming Simon Mitchell. I'm not blaming the Phoenix. Maybe it's a mandate from the league, but I'm just like, how are we to have a conversation beyond yay or no when this sort of stuff just isn't done? And it bothered me.
I mean, he made the point in response to your question that they provided the starting lineups, you know, as per league requirements, the morning of the game or what have you. And that was duly given to the social media person or whatever the process is, fair enough. But I get what you're saying. It's like, well, even the commentary crew were saying, what's the deal with Brokhoff? Like, so if that's all happening, get your ducks lined up. The commentators should be in a privileged position to have all the information. This is a league, you know, it's a league commentary booth. It's not, you know, the local yokels, you know, NBA style, who are doing the local broadcast feed. This is a national feed. They're the ones employed by the league. That the leagues and the clubs work together. Get the information, because otherwise you're just making the commentators look stupid.
Like, precisely. And that's the big talking. But as they're doing their warm-ups, it's, we understand NBA player and boomer Brian Brokhoff is not going to start, likely because of COVID. That makes your broadcast, that changes the dynamic of the game. Or I had a bet one way or the other. That makes things, it just drags people in, other than just, well, it could be a good game. Yeah. Players are quite good. Weather's nice.
Yeah.
Like, what the f-
Sorry. Yeah, build a storyline. Let us know what's going on.
Yeah. And I hope I'm not the only one in and I said it, I was frustrated. Frustrated.
You sounded it, yeah. And that's okay. We all have those days, Joe. It's fine.
And I hate to take it out on Simon Mitchell. We love Simon Mitchell. He's the nicest guy in the world.
I'm not sure he loves us anymore, though. I'm not feeling so much love. Anyway.
I'll win him back.
That's all right. We've still got time. Speaking of love, who's feeling the love, and do players love clubs? Can you tell me a little bit about the Websters and how they're going? How's their relationship in New Zealand these days?
Before we do that, do we want to talk about Brandon Ashley, Devin Thomas quickly? While we're still Southeast Melbourne.
Oh, all right.
You remember. All right. If you remember, we'll, no. Actually, if you remember, we'll come back to it. Let's talk about Websters. Sorry. Well, I don't know why I did that.
Just destroyed my segue, man.
Just fucking killed it. Websters. So I don't know how it happened, but yeah, Corey Webster got in touch with us.
Love it.
He was like, no, Corey Webster posted of his own accord saying, better without us, huh?
That's right.
Oh dear. And what did you think of that? Your reaction when you saw a tweet like that? I thought, whoa, okay.
Well, it's like, wow, that's friendly fire, you know, but maybe it's not friendly fire because he just had a shot at his old team.
You know, and they're great.
I think he had a shot at his old team, or had a shot at the media. Who was the shot at? That's the other question. Like,
it's a shot at both.
Yeah.
So that came out, and I said, oh, like with that sort of candor, you could do social media for the Breakers, because, you know, they've got that. And he then started following me. I was like, I'm gonna lay my cards on the table, Corey. I'm one of the few who thinks that your departure is not of huge consequence. He asked a question, gave him an answer.
That's fair.
I'm not gonna lie to a man. I don't lie to a man's face, even online. So I'm gonna pose the question to you. Better without the Websters? Yes or no, Andrew Kane?
Well, I thought the Websters last year might have been creating a culture issue. They, you know, seem like there's a bit of a split schism in the team. I'm not so sure anymore, because the schisms and the splits still seem to be there. So maybe it's a deeper issue. And you know me, I'm like the culture guy. I like to see who's high-fiving and who's liking each other, and I think it's really important. It's not just about the skill level on the court. It's whether you're happy with each other. I don't think this organization's culture is particularly healthy at the moment.
And I think they're flammable. I think they're like a highly like, whoa, high highs, low lows. But is that toxic? Is that bad? I'm not so sure. I think they've been hit by COVID and lost a game, and then had a bit of a funky roster that's got injured.
So I'm thinking now, if I look at this team and I plug the Websters, both of them, back into the team, I think they're better. You take out, I mean, who would that? You'd remove Besson, I suppose, and you'd remove.
You would play Corey Webster over Besson.
Well, no, I'm just thinking who wouldn't have made the roster if they had the Webster Would they have ever signed him? You know, I'm not sure they would have
because probably not.
The logjam. And you would remove, well, who would be?
Siva.
Would it be Siva or would it be what's his name? Whose name?
Miguel White. But he was there last year as well.
No, the other import guard who has the lefty. Name escapes.
Jeremiah Martin.
Thank you. He's probably been one of their best players. Oh, it's a tough one.
Well, my answer to Corey was their biggest problems are defense and rebounding.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure where either of the Websters particularly helps with that. Now, I'm going to put Ty to one side. Well, I actually quite like Ty. He was very athletic, got 2 feet in the paint. You can work with a player like that. But Corey was the main guy. And I won't have this still. And these are just the numbers of it. So last year, Corey Webster, 49th in effective field goal rating out of 100 players, so middle of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Missed a lot of games. I didn't bother counting. It was quite a lot with avocado cut, which was unfortunate. 12th in usage rate in the league. So let's call that top 10 because there's always some statistical anomalies. And then 42nd in PER. So top 10 in usage, middle of the road PER. And you know, these stats, I struggle to get a handle on them. But what they communicate to me is, put a lot of quarters in. You're not really getting a lot of game time out of it. It's a horrible turn of phrase. But I mean, and the other thing is, well, the Breakers finished 12-24 last year. Win percentage of 33%. You don't think the Breakers are going to hit that mark despite playing all home games, all away games. Last year they got some home games, and the away games they did play were in the NBL Cup, where it was somewhat of an even standing, where, you know, all teams were playing away in Melbourne other than the Melbourne teams. I think they're going to hit that mark and be as good, if not a wee bit better than a third of their game.
Yeah, I think you need to be careful not to confuse wins with better. Because I think sometimes you can be better and still lose.
Right.
So I think maybe...
You're starting to sound like Gloria from the White Wing. Sometimes when you win, you lose. You lose, you win. You tie, you actually win or lose. And sometimes when you win or lose, you actually tie.
I just watched the entire season 4 of Cobra Kai, okay? So that's been messing with my head a lot. There's a lot of, like, changing allegiances.
Right.
I don't know. Let me put it this way. I like the Breakers with the Websters because the Websters are quintessentially Kiwi. And I think that's what's missing from the New Zealand Breakers.
My answer to this question, I like Ty. Corey, wrong side of 30, couple of injuries, misses time. There was never a turnaround mid-range jump shot he didn't fall in love with. He can score with punch. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm not saying that. I think he actually really helped a team. Could he help a Sydney Kings? Absolutely. Could he help Tasmania? Absolutely. They would love him down there to just throw him at and actually get some scoring and a bit of poise late. And a lot of teams would want him, but I just don't think New Zealand, he just doesn't address a concern or need. And that was the question posed. But I like your distinction between wins and better. I do agree. But I think a lineup of, when it happens, fingers crossed, of Siva, Besson, Abercrombie, Jeremiah Martin, and Wetzel. I think that's a team that, and Finn Delaney in there, whatever combination.
Yeah.
That's a team I'm like, ooh, they're better than Sydney. They're better than Cairns. Yeah. They're better than Tasmania. They'll push Melbourne. They'll push a few teams. So, that's my answer.
Interesting times ahead.
Brandon Ashley and Devin Thomas. Do you want to touch on that quickly?
Yeah, it seems a long time ago now, doesn't it?
It does.
News ages. Sort of, what was it, 10 days ago? Gosh, ancient history. So Devin Thomas, the guy, nobody knew who he was.
The man who knew too, the man who played too little, yeah.
Obviously, he was booted for breaking team rules, right? So these team rules must have been instituted in the last 6 months or so, because nobody else has ever suffered the fate of breaching team rules.
I think
that's an interesting observation.
Well, it is. No, it's a very fair point. I think the big team rule at South East Melbourne, they've got a couple of rules. The number one being, you're not allowed to stink at basketball. This guy didn't play. The rumor is it was, broke a few COVID rules, but also was one of the poorer imports through the door. Begs the question now, Tommy Greer, GM of South East Melbourne Phoenix, has a luster for picking big imports and then getting them halfway through the year. Ty Wesley was not one. He got hurt.
Yeah. Benson. Yeah.
Was there another one? I swear there was another one.
Oh, I'd have to check the record.
No, last year they stuck it out with Ben something. Can't remember.
Ben Moore. Yeah.
Ben Moore, they stuck it out, but it was kind of like, still it was kind of, he's going to be a stud, and he was, passable but not great.
Yep.
And now Devin Thomas, where it hasn't worked out.
Yep. Like,
so Tommy Greer, it's a big sort of Mr. Farm a little bit, but they've got Ashley is, you like Ashley. I love Ashley.
I think if he can stay out of foul trouble, because that was his biggest Achilles heel from my memory in New Zealand, he was good and he got better as the season went on. Towards the end of the season, he was really starting to do some damage. So assuming nothing's changed in the way that he plays, and then he controls fouls. But I don't think he'll be under the same pressure. He was really under pressure to stay on the court in New Zealand and like be a key piece. I think now he's a complementary piece. You know, a bit of rim protection. I think it works nicely.
Oh, I think he's a great fit with them, especially. Like, he could help a lot of teams. In fact, he could probably help every team, but especially with them for a couple of reasons. One, long-armed, rangy, switches pick and roll. That is a skill set you just love in basketball. And then secondly, I want to ask you this question. Is this kind of a judge, jury, executioner on Joe Chi? Too slow in the pick and roll. We need a smaller five who can switch out and kind of inside outside. Am I reading too much into it? Why have they gone after? Why have they felt the need to get a stud? No, they paid for Ashley.
I think they already had that. I mean, that was Devin's meant to be his role, right? They've replaced like for like, so I think it satisfies their original plan. So I don't have any issues with that.
No,
it's a good thing they didn't sign another three man. Jeez, good enough of those. It's the only
far out.
It's the only gap. The team is pretty stacked. Stacked, assuming people play to their reputations, and that's what they're not doing. Now,
I could have a room of wall sockets. I'm cutting every cord on Glidden and Turangi. I'm just pulling it. I'm sorry.
Well, you might as well do Brokoff while you're at it.
No, Brokoff. He came on in that last half. You have to believe in one of them. You know. Okay. One of them has to come good. No, I broke off. I don't know why. I got a soft spot.
I love it. I like the fact any guy that wears glasses off court, man, gives me.
Yeah, I know, like, right? No, but he can play. NBA boomers, come on. He can play. He's just come off COVID. I don't know. Jeez, you'd hope so. But I will say this on the Southeast Melbourne thing. Southeast Melbourne, within a week, Devin Thomas gets cut. It's kind of like, ooh, that's a bit smoky. What's going on there? No report. No reporters get there. You know, sniff that one up.
Yep.
And then Ashley gets signed, and that's broken by a guy in Lithuania. Demantis, he's a good guy. Spoken to him in the DMs. Well, what's going on? Like, man, you're getting beaten to stories in your own backyard.
Investigative journalism. Oh, well.
It's just not, you know, it would have been a good. That's where Olga Ulich was good. He would be
yeah,
like,
yeah, oh, he was good.
Ashley's coming. Yeah, to his credit. He would get on that one. Yep. Anyway.
Sweets. Tweets.
Where are we going next? I've got taken it to the tweets, but you've already kind of taken it to the tweets.
We've still got David Anderson. I need to comment on this. David Anderson going into the league office. Apparently, so I would expect fashion across the league to improve greatly because he's apparently given all. He's working with the player welfare, wellness, interactions, I think. So, I don't really know because they didn't really explain it, but I'm, you know, hoping fashion improves because he's GQ.
He's a handsome lad.
It's an interesting one, though. Like, it would be interesting if they define the role a little better.
Define the role. Yeah, exactly. I was like, hang on, who was the – what's the role? Sorry.
Is it player liaison?
Finally, I was on and anything that's when you're something and something, it's like, uh-oh.
Slashy.
That's fake. That's not a real role. So I saw the role. I was like, is that a made-up role for him? Or who filled the role last time? I think it is a real role, but, yeah, he's well-liked down there and wants to stay in the game.
It sort of seems like something that isn't that what the players' union is sort of meant to be about? Yeah, so it's a weird one.
I don't know. It just seems strange to me. I was like, I've never heard of that role. It even sounded wishy-washy. Like, whoever was
they didn't know what to say about it.
Time fell asleep, you know, and sort of rambled. I think it's the title is like player liaison something something personnel chit chats whatever.
Yeah,
like that's the actual title. Yeah, but fair play to him. He's getting paid. Take it.
Look, I wonder if his agent negotiated that deal as well. You know, yeah.
All right.
I'm just bringing. Oh, here we go. I've just brought up the media release just to confirm it. He's recently begun as NBL Special Projects and Player Liaison. Now, I do have this does spark concern. Whenever I've been in any sort of workplace where there's been somebody in charge of special projects, that's usually like when they're getting kicked out the door. It's like we really want to get rid of this guy, but we can't because of his employment contract.
Also. yeah, I think we're of an age where whenever anything was described as special, that was a put down. Oh, it's a project? It's special, you know. It's anyway. Where are we? I've got one last thing, unless you've got anything else.
We've
done Sydney, Melbourne, New Zealand. Done it all. I got my last thing. This is content. I got to do this. Oh, we spoke about this in the week, but I got it. There was an article put out by a club that shall remain nameless. They put it out, and it came across my eye because it was emailed to me. Twitter, lots of people liked it and commented on it. And this is a great article. Da, 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 da. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a read. You know, the club's put out stuff. I have a rule, though. The league never messes up, but club stuff, I'm like, I will read until the first grammatical, spelling, or syntax error, and then I'm out.
Okay.
And this one got a lot of high praise from people within the club that put it out. And I thought, okay, great. Read it and actually read it.
Yep.
And got to about the sixth, seventh paragraph, I forget which, and there was a syntax error in there that rendered the paragraph incomprehensible, illegible.
Well, that's not good.
And, you know, these things happen. Mistakes are made. But it just shows you who's reading this stuff, who's proof editing it, who's – and then when it's – okay, one every now and again these things get through the keeper, but then everyone else from the – is going, oh, it's great. Loved it. They clearly haven't read it either, because it, and then it falls to someone like myself who read it glancingly and didn't, you know, paid attention, you know, actually read it.
Yep.
And then I noticed it. So how many people cast their eye over this thing before, how many people, you know, until it fell to me to notice it?
Mm.
And, you know, it's, it just shows you kind of what's going on. Where are people actually, are they actually reading their own work? Are they actually doing it? So, but here's the funny thing. This is where it's kind of like, we've got it. If the club in question is listening, or anyone from clubs is listening, read your own work. See if it's you. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But that would mean that now if it remains unchanged, it means they don't listen, perhaps, or they've heard what we've said, seen the error but are too proud to change it because then they'll know that they've listened to us. And then if they change it, well, I'm afraid I'm going to be sending a bill for a proofreader's fee. I used to proofread microwave manuals many, many years ago and blender manuals from Chinese. I will be sending a fee because it fell to me to have to aware this. So enjoyed to see that.
You've just created a Schrodinger's cat situation here where do they fix it or do they not fix it? If the cat has, you know the cat with the, and if you strap it, the cat will not land, but if you strap a piece of toast with butter on the cat, because cat will always land on its feet, but if butter always lands on butter side down. Like, so if you put
like Pascal's wager, like the cat in the box is both dead and alive.
Yeah,
or
yeah, that's right.
I don't know who that is. Pinot or something. Whoever it is.
There you go. You've created a real challenge for people out there.
I'll be very interested. And people who are listening. And if it doesn't get changed, well, it's just something between however many listens, and you can read through the club's stuff. They don't put out a heck of a lot, and it's our little inside NBL pocket pod joke.
There we go.
And if it gets changed, then we're all in on the inside gag. And yeah, no hard feelings, mistakes are made, but my advice to clubs is proofread and edit your stuff before you comment on it, for heaven's sake. Just read it. Just take the 3 minutes to read it. And that's all I've got.
I've got one more thing. NBL tipping competition. At footytips.com.au. Now, you may have been slightly screwed over the last round or two, because I know I have been. As the rounds have been changing and the fixtures have been updating, it's been a little challenging to get your tips in and correct. So I think everybody's probably taken a bit of a hit in their tips, but we can all just accept that we all just got screwed equally and carry on. So I've just locked in. I've just checked my tips again and noticed there was – the next two games just were untipped. I hadn't entered something, although I sure I had. So get on that, people.
Yep. Get on it. I think end of year awards are kind of out the door a little bit. But, hey, round to round, you know, it can be fun. And it's something to do while you're, you know, filling in time, you know.
Yeah, and you're actually – you're beating me at the moment, actually.
Really?
Yeah, you're on 20 total score and I'm on 19. Wow.
I'm not going to lie. I maybe spend anywhere between 17 and 25 seconds on these tips. I just go through and I go, hey, that one, that one, that one, that one. Tips, like, come on. You know, we prefer to dissect than preempt. I have got one more confession. Press conference stuff.
Yep.
Sydney, which press conference was it? Sydney Illawarra? Yeah. Sydney Illawarra, in the press conference was myself, yourself.
Yep.
And then Woody. Woody V from the Throwback Hoops.
That's right.
The podcasters outnumbered greatly anyone else. It was like attacking the podcasters. Didn't that feel nice?
It felt really good. It was like a vindication or whatever for everything we've been doing. And we asked the good questions too, just quietly.
Woody hit it out of the park. So do, people out there, follow Throwback Hoops, listen to the pod, subscribe.
Do it.
I will say, I got to make one last confession. This will see us out. That game, that press conference.
Yes.
I don't know. I hope you couldn't tell. Maybe you picked it up in the sound, but full disclosure, my end of that conversation, I was on the toilet for that one. I foolishly had about an hour before that press conference, coffee, quite black, a little bit of milk in there, but predominantly black, bran muffin. It came upon me at the worst possible time. And I think that was the first.
Wow.
And that's a COVID world. I feel the need to admit it. I hope that doesn't get us kicked out of them from now on. But I think I covered my tracks is what I'm saying.
No wonder there was a bit of an echo. But I was not. I was in the official studio. I had the good mic, so hopefully my quality covered up for your emergency trip.
I apologize, but thanks as always to the NBL. And people often ask, how do you get into the press conference? Da da da. Very simple rule to life, and it's not just press conferences; it's everything. You know how you get in there? You ask. Stop being precious and just ask. You'd be surprised by the answer. The league is great. They really are. I spoke to Guy Neville just this morning about a few things. He's the nicest guy in the world.
Yep.
Do the same. Andrew, you have the final word.
Wildcats game next?